What's going on, Seahawks fans? Danny Kelly here. This is the Week 15 edition of Deep Balls, the NFL Picks podcast for field goals. I'm joined as usual by Jackson Bevins. How you doing, Jackson?
What's up? Doing great.
Awesome. Jackson had a good week last week. He got 9 correct. Is that correct? Nine out of 16. Moved to 126 and 79 on the year in the 90th percentile. I did not do as well. I got 9. I was 9-7. Or sorry, I was 7-9. Now at 124 and 81, one below Vegas right now. Jackson was saying before the show that Vegas is at 125, so that you can use that as kind of a barometer for how you've done this year. Vegas had a good week. You said they won 11 games?
Yeah, they went 11-5 last week. You and I are feeling pretty good about going against Vegas last week on a number of them, and got us.
The last couple of weeks have been tough, and then this week is no easier. Before we go into that, gotta just give a shout out to CW6.
Killing it.
Ridiculous. 139 on the year. That's 5 better than the second place person in our group, which is 100 and something.
I
100.
just looked it up. Out of the hundreds of thousands of, people doing this pigskin pick'em, might even be over a million or close to it. He's 73rd.
Jesus.
So he is representing the group well. And CW6, if you're listening to this, and I hope you are, feel free to reach out, man. I need to tap your keg, as it were. Get you on the show as a guest. Teach us how to do this.
No doubt. So before we get into it, anything else you want to add?
Only that I think I had more truly difficult decisions this week than any week since probably week two.
Yeah, this week was tough. I was kind of just like, I looked through the games and thought about a couple of them, and I was just like, whatever. And
Yeah.
I had to make a couple of gut picks this week, you know? So, yeah, it's an interesting slate. And I guess we'll just get started with the Thursday night game. This is one of those games I just like, what the hell? Who knows? Tampa Bay at St. Louis. Both teams are kind of hot and cold. And both teams you could probably make pretty strong arguments for, but I don't know. What do you think about this one?
Based on roster alone, the Rams should win this game 4 out of 5 times, right? Especially at home on a short week. The Bucks are coming off a loss to New Orleans, I think a home loss to New Orleans. Rams are coming off of their first against the Lions, so they're kind of trending in the right direction. I think that for me, the difference comes down to having a quarterback. I think when you have two teams that are middling to bad, the importance of quarterback is even bigger. And right now, Tampa Bay is just in a lot better situation that way. They're also the best against the run in terms of a per play basis. They only allow, I think, 3.6 yards per carry. And that's all the Rams can do on offense is run. So I've got actually pretty good confidence in Tampa Bay's ability to keep St. Louis from scoring very much. And Tampa Bay has the weapons to score a lot. Doug Martin is only like 30 yards away from being the leading rusher in the NFL. Mike Evans has shown that he is capable of star production. Jameis Winston caught up to the NFL game in no time at all. So, I'd be surprised if the Buccaneers scored less than 20 in this game, and I'd be surprised if the Rams scored more than 20 in this game, just because I don't think they'll be able to pass the way that you need to beat the Bucks, because you just don't beat them on the ground. So I was leaning towards the Rams. Vegas likes the Rams, but I think the Buccaneers are a better team with a better quarterback, and so I took them.
And I actually agree with you that I think that Tampa Bay is better and has a better quarterback, but for some stupid reason, I picked the Rams.
It's not stupid at all. Most of the country and Vegas agrees with you.
But I don't really know why, honestly. I think maybe partly it's to do with them being at home, which, that helps even if you're the Rams. And they kind of got they got Todd Gurley going a little bit last week, which was a sign of they're going in the right direction at least. He's been kind of quiet, and so that was encouraging. And Tampa Bay, they're going to be without Vincent Jackson, I think. I haven't seen the reports yet this week, but that could be a big deal. You know, because when he's been in there, they've been, I think, quite a bit more dangerous and tougher to defend.
I agree.
So that's kind of – those are some of the factors I was thinking about. And so I went with St. Louis in this game. Not feeling strong about it. It is a Thursday night game. They do have to come west. So that's kind of an issue for them potentially. And, you know, he's still –
travel west than east, though.
It is, no doubt. So, anyhow, I don't feel very strongly about that, but I did pick St. Louis. I think that, you know, the line kind of tells you Tampa Bay is a better team, but St. Louis is at home, so they're – favored by one. That'll be an interesting one to watch. I don't know.
The first of many coin flips this week.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a very sexy Thursday night game for anyone outside of Tampa Bay or St. Louis, or maybe even in St. Louis, but we're stuck with it. There's an interesting thing this week. I don't know why. I actually haven't read about it. Why is this Dallas Jets game on Saturday? Did you know it's on Saturday?
And I just sort of accepted it, you know, without...
because is it maybe because the college season's over? Seems like we should probably...
Yeah, that could be. There's no... That's a good point. There's no college games this Saturday for first time in 5 months. So, actually, that's a really good point. The NFL might be pouncing on the football vacuum.
Yeah, I think that might be what's going on anyway.
That's good looking, yeah.
But yeah, so we get Saturday Night Football, which will be kind of different, I guess. Jets at Dallas. The Jets are favored by 3. I don't know why. Oh, actually, I do know why. I understand kind of now why. But Dallas keeps getting like pretty close lines and or being favored in games. And as you explained to me, bettors just love Dallas for some reason.
Well, yeah, exactly, right. I mean, they're still America's team. There's still more Cowboys fans across the country than anywhere else, you know. And the way that Vegas makes money is the bulk of people are betting with their hearts instead of their heads. So, Dallas always gets a very favorable line compared to their talent situation.
All right, well, that being said, what do you got in this game?
I've got the Jets. I actually saw a couple of prediction models pick the Cowboys, and so I really dove into this one trying to figure out why, and I can't. So I'm sticking with the good team beating the bad team. Right. I mean, here's the thing, right? Just Dallas is just no good without Tony Romo. And, I mean, Dez disappears. Their defense has been playing really well lately, but they can't score, and the Jets can score. And the Jets have scored points against good defenses. So, they've got both their running backs clicking. Decker and Marshall, I think, have, 23 touchdowns between them?
Yeah.
Or something like that, 20, 22, somewhere in there. I mean, I think it's the most by teammates in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, Fitzpatrick's killing it. Like, there's just weapons everywhere. Their defense is – good, you know, this is the number 5 defense by DVOA. I just see them feasting on Dallas, and there's maybe 10 to 12 teams in the NFL that I wouldn't pick the Jets to win right now, and Dallas isn't one of them. What is that? Is that me?
That would be you. Apparently, someone really liked your pick.
Yeah, hang on.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and tell you who I picked in this game. I went with the Jets as well because, like you so eloquently said, I picked the good team to beat the bad team. I don't like Dallas. I don't think they're very good, especially with Tony Romo gone. Their run game doesn't seem to be all that special. Their passing game isn't very good. Their defense isn't very good. I like the Jets. It was a pretty easy choice. Did you get that figured out?
Yeah, is there still background noise?
No, I can't hear anything.
Weird. I wonder if it was like a pop-up or something. I thought it was your phone going off.
No, I think it was. It must have been a pop-up on your end because I didn't – nothing over here.
That's funny. No, it's good all, timing. It's all good. Do you want to – is it possible to just go back over that?
Yeah, well, I think it's fine. This is all what right. happens in live radio. No big deal. It was pretty funny because it was right after you made your pick too. It was like, New York likes it. Chicago at Minnesota, NFC North matchup. Chicago for a minute there looked really dangerous and then has kind of faded over the last month or so or whatever. Don't feel like they're quite as much of a contender these days, but they could give Minnesota some trouble, their division rivals. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, this was, I mean, not a tough one, but definitely one that gave me pause because I think the Bears, I mean, listen, they came into the season with one of the three most accurate kickers in NFL history, and they've lost at least two, but I think three games directly due to that kicker missing field goals. I mean, it's just gotten to a point where it's crazy, right? So, I mean, you're talking about a team that, I mean, might literally be a kicker away from being 8-8, which is funny to think about. So, you know, I think talent-wise, they're there, and I'd probably actually lean Chicago in Chicago. But it's tough for teams once they're eliminated from the playoffs, which is what that last gold kick did last week. And I think that's 2 weeks in a row that he's missed game winners. Mm. And so, you know, that's just so deflating, and it's so hard to get up again for that, I imagine, once you know their season is, for all intents and purposes, over. Minnesota's still really battling for that. You know, they're really the last team in the NFC where, you know, them and the Packers, whether it's a home or away game in the playoffs, right? Like, the six teams are kind of set outside of whoever wins the NFC East, but everyone yeah. knows if they're going to be home or on the road. Minnesota and Green Bay are the two teams that can still kind of switch spots, so lots to play for. I thought they bounced back really well after getting hammered by the Seahawks with their win last week, so I think that showed that they are resilient. I still don't think they're as good as their record, but I do think they're good enough to beat Chicago at home just overall. And I question the Bears' ability to be up for this game the way they would need to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went with the Vikings too. It was encouraging to see Teddy Bridgewater kind of play a little bit better last week. He'd been really kind of a non-factor almost in a lot of games for them. You know, definition like of less than a game manager almost. Kind of relying on Adrian Peterson. And so he was more active against the Cardinals, kind of gave them a run for their money, almost got the win. So, yeah, I agree. That was kind of a gut check time for them, and they bounced back, you know, and that was encouraging. And I think they'll continue to do that. They got a fight on their hands. It looks like Green Bay's playing a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But they're at home, and I don't know. Yeah, like you said, Chicago, I guess, I didn't actually know that. They got eliminated from the playoffs. And
well, I don't think technically, but they're now three back with three to go.
Oh, okay. So it would take a miracle, if anything.
Yeah.
Regardless, you know, I could see them kind of not being quite as up for the game as you might expect. And so I went with Minnesota as well.
It's so hard to lose two games in a row like that. And now what's going through Gold's head when he goes out to kick a field goal, you know?
God, man. The sciences or the psychology of sports is a rough one. I can't even imagine being on that stage.
Yeah.
With everything right. These days, Twitter and the 24-hour coverage, it's just crazy.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look like Chicago can make up the ground necessary.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they're out of it. I'm looking at the standings now.
Moving down the line, we have Atlanta at Jacksonville. Atlanta is a total dumpster fire.
Holy cow, man.
It's just been weird. I mean, not that weird because you kind of didn't think they were as good.
Was it 5-0 that they got to?
Yeah, they got to 5-0.
That is, I mean, it was like the Panthers are good. I've caped up for the Panthers all year. I think they're legit. But 38-0, man, that's just a team with no fight.
Exactly.
And, like, something broke in Matt Ryan. Like, it's been like a Kaepernick cliff that he's fallen off of.
It's just so weird.
It is.
And, I mean, yeah, their offense has just been completely non-existent, like, the last 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah.
The defense has been fine. I mean, you know, okay. There's another pop-up for you.
You know what it is? Is it's on, I've got the DVOA website pulled up, and they have pop-ups now.
Whoops.
Wow, that's unfortunate. Hey, buddy. That is really annoying. Well, shoot, I like having that up during this.
Well, I'll pull it up if you want to ask.
Cool. No, it should be good.
All right. Well, anyway, what do you think of this game? This is in Jacksonville. They're obviously coming off of a huge blowout. What do you expect to happen?
Yeah, that was really interesting. I mean, they just hung 50 on Indy, and the way they did it was so weird because they like turned the ball over three times in their first four drives, I think, and were down by a couple of scores and couldn't do anything. And then they scored 51 points in like 38 minutes or something crazy like that.
Crazy.
So it's just kind of tough to know what to make of that. That said, I don't think Jacksonville is turning the corner, but I think they can see the corner for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And Atlanta is just, I don't know who I would pick Atlanta to beat right now. Maybe like Cleveland, San Diego, San Francisco are probably the only teams. We're talking about the 23rd and 24th best teams by DVOA. But at this point of the season, weighted DVOA becomes a much better indicator of success. And Jacksonville's 21st versus Atlanta's 28th. Mm-hmm. You know, I've lost Atlanta, you know, faith in Atlanta to score enough to beat a team that can score. You know, that was kind of my argument for Jacksonville last week. It's my argument for Jacksonville this week is, you know, the Jacksonville defense isn't great, but they score points lately. They've been scoring a lot of points. And so you're just going to have to score some points to stick with them. And I didn't think the Colts could do it. And I just don't think the Falcons can do it with this version of Matt Ryan. So I've got Jacksonville winning this one, which, I mean, how crazy does that look a couple months ago?
Yeah, for real. The tables have turned, and I have Jacksonville too, actually, in this game. It's kind of the same deal. It's like, you know, I don't think Atlanta can go punch for punch with anybody at this point. Offensively, they're just terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think Jacksonville, you know, that for the first time in a long time, they have a chance to actually win the division. You know, there's still,
oh yeah, they're only a game back,
which is insane. And yep. It's not like Houston or Indy are playing well at all. You know, those guys, they're both struggling terribly.
But so before the season, you wouldn't have predicted them to be 5-8 right now.
No, not at all. I mean, in fact, I think I maybe guessed they would win about 5 games in the year.
Okay,
something like that. So. Yeah, it's interesting. I still don't really think Jacksonville's very good, to be honest.
Right.
But I really don't think Atlanta's any good right now, and so that's kind of where I went with that one. Moving down the line, Houston at Indy. This one has the line is off, but the total's off because I guess they don't know who quarterback is for anybody. I think we found out today that Hoyer is out. So tell me who starts. Yates, I think TJ Yates is going to be starting, and then I think Luck will be out too. So is Hasselbeck around? Hasselbeck
alive? I know he got taken out of the game twice last week.
I mean, I'm just looking at that now. If not, it would be Charlie Whitehurst. Let's see here. Chuck Pagano tells reporters that QB Andrew Luck will not play this week. Matt Hasselbeck should, though. So it's probably going to be Hasselbeck, might be Chuck.
That gives the Colts a chance. It does.
Yeah.
I don't have any faith in them. I just think they're a bad team.
I fought that
for a while. I thought the Colts would make it to the AFC Championship game. I actually think before the season I predicted them to make the Super Bowl. So I kind of stayed married to the they'll pull out of it thing. But I think that maybe Andrew Luck – doesn't even make that big of a difference anymore. I think he's better than Hasselbeck and Whitehurst, but I can't imagine the way Hasselbeck got beat up last week and having to face the Texans front seven. I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Texans are very good either, but I think the Colts are, you know, maybe one of the five worst teams in the NFL. And So I do have Houston in this one. It being in Indianapolis, I'm tempted to lean towards the bad home team, but I think that Houston's probably whatever tier is above the worst tier. So yeah, not exactly a compelling case, and I'm sure I didn't change anybody's mind who was picking the Colts, but they just seem really broken, where at least Houston knows what it can and can't do, and I think that matters a lot.
I think Houston's defense is going to dominate this game.
Yeah, I really do too.
I think Houston went through a period there for 4 weeks where they were the best defense in the NFL by a long shot.
Yep.
And then they've played a couple tough games now, and that's kind of fallen off. I still think they're a very good defense, and I think they're going to dominate this game. It's going to be all the Houston defense, and so I picked Houston in this one. I just can't. I mean, I can see Indianapolis winning. Obviously, they just lost their first in division game for like the last 3 years or something like that. So obviously, I could see Indianapolis win, but I think Houston is. I think they're going to dominate this game defensively, and that's going to be enough to get them by, even if they're starting TJ Yates. And so, I picked Houston as well. So far, we only have one different right now. I picked St. Louis. You picked Tampa Bay. Moving down the line, we've got Kansas City at Baltimore. We saw firsthand what Baltimore is up to these days. I imagine you're going to pick Kansas City one.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City is playing like one of the five best teams in the NFL. And it's funny because I picked them as a playoff team, and and they went 1-5, and I was like, man, this is crazy. They lost Jamal Charles. I was like, I guess I overestimated this team, but not at all. I mean, this is maybe Andy Reid's finest coaching job of his career. And he's got Alex Smith playing the best football of his life. He's figured out how to get wide receivers involved. They're turnstile at running back has been super productive no matter who's back there. The defense is balling out. They're the number two team in the NFL by weighted DVOA. And again, weighted DVOA, highly predictive model this late in the season. So I'd take the Chiefs. Honestly, I'd probably pick the Chiefs over anyone in the AFC right now, especially with the injuries that the consensus top three teams are all dealing with. So the Ravens not being one of them. I think the Chiefs probably win this. It's a huge tip of the hat to John Harbaugh this year that, of their first 8 losses and playing with all replacement parts, I think their biggest loss had been by like 6 or 7 points before the Seahawks game. So, I mean, the fact that he's had them in it to the last drive of every single game this year is pretty amazing. I think that the boat that's been real wobbly all season finally just sprung its leak, and I think they're done for. So I think Kansas City is a pretty easy one here.
Yep, I agree with that. I don't really need to add anything to that. I think this is – I heard – let's see here. Kansas City has won, 7 in a row now?
Mm-hmm.
Or 6? If they win their next one in a row, they'll be the first team in NFL history to have lost 5 games in a row and then win the next 7 or 8. I can't remember what the actual stat is.
Yeah, I mean, that's – it's amazing that they've done it, but it's not surprising that they would be the first to pull that off. That is truly incredible.
Yeah, it's a crazy turnaround.
And they're probably going to be – a playoff team. I don't think they can catch Denver. Where's Denver at? 2 games back, and they don't have a quarterback. Who knows?
Denver is an interesting one, too.
Super interesting.
They've kind of fallen off in my confidence rate. What do you got for Buffalo at Washington?
This was another one of those games that I kind of went back and forth on for a while. I clicked both boxes a couple of times this week, and that's reflected in the way that it's picked. It's 53-47 nationwide right now in favor of the Bills, who I ultimately went with because I think they're better. It's tough with Washington because when they're good, they're really pretty good. But when they're bad, they're as bad as I expected them to be this year. I don't know. It's something where when I look at Buffalo, I still see a pretty good team, like definitely in the top half of the NFL, and I think maybe even a touch higher in terms of just their overall talent and execution. they're so much better with Tyrod Taylor in there. You know, they had a rough stretch with him out. Right. Sammy Watkins is blooming. I mean, he's the guy that they thought they were getting when they drafted, and that's changed everything. LeSean McCoy has been one of the five or six best running backs in the NFL. Yeah, they're blocking well. I mean, how crazy is it that Buffalo is seventh in offensive DVOA?
That's pretty interesting.
Like, I would not have picked them to be anywhere close to that before the season.
It kind of makes sense, though, just based on how Tyrod Taylor has played in terms of he's so efficient.
Yes.
I know that DVOA is an efficiency thing. And so, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes some sense to me in just the way that they run. It's kind of like the same way that Seattle's been number one over the last couple of years, too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely a team that likes to shorten the game, but they're also one of only four teams in the NFL, along with Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Seattle, to have both their passing DVOA and their rushing DVOA be top 10. They're seventh in pass and fourth in the run. So that's a really, really impressive balance to see from a team whose identity you figured would be on defense. So I think Washington's going to have to score, you know, 27 points or so to win this game. And I just don't have a ton of faith in them to do that. They haven't been able to run the ball all season. And Kirk Cousins is doing his damnedest. He leads the NFL in completion percentage, actually, which is crazy.
Really?
Yeah. He's completed 68.8%, I think, is what it was when I was running the numbers. Hmm. And, you know, so he's doing his best to keep them in it. But if Buffalo doesn't have to worry about the run, they can really get after you in the pass game. And I'd be surprised if Washington's able to trade scores with Buffalo the way I think they'll need to. So I've got Buffalo in this one, but I don't think they're that much better than Washington, so I was tempted to take the Skins at home, but I stuck with my gut and went Buffalo.
I did too. And this was another one of those games where I was just like, I don't really know. You know, I still don't know. I really don't know how good any of the NFC East teams are. Or I should say, I don't think any of them are very good.
Who do you think's the best?
Man, honestly, I don't know. I think maybe Philly or New York or Washington. I have no fucking
got it. Yeah. I actually think the Giants are the best team by a decent margin in that division. I think the
okay. Let's go with that. I agree with that. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That sounds fine.
Doesn't mean that they're good.
No, exactly.
I think the Giants are kind of like the definition of an average team.
Yeah. Anyhow, I picked Buffalo too. I just don't have any confidence in any of these teams in the NFC East, and I think that Buffalo, like you said, they're a good team. I think they've had a weird year, but I think they're better than their record potentially tells you, and I think that, you know, they'll – I don't know. They're kind of – I think there's a good matchup for them too because Washington's kind of you know, they try and be physical and run the ball, and that's kind of the brand of football that they play in Buffalo. So.
Yep.
Moving down the line, Tennessee at New England. I have an inclination you might pick New England in this one.
Yep.
All right, we can move on. Let's see here. Philly, Arizona at Philly. Surprisingly, it's only a 3.5 line. I guess if you put in the whole home field thing, that might sound about right in terms
yeah.
of 6-point difference. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, I mean that – sounds about right, I guess. I mean, and Philly's, I don't know. I still think talent-wise they're better than their record. They've got really weird identity issues.
Yeah.
But they're coming off of two pretty impressive wins. They beat the Patriots in New England and then came home and beat the Bills and really clamped down on the Bills on the last few drives when they had to. Kind of a defensive win, back-to-back defensive wins for Philadelphia. So I think that they're feeling really good right now. And, you know, I think this is Chip Kelly kind of throwing up the barrels to the haters right now. But it's going to be really, really interesting. You know, they don't know what they're doing at running back, although Sproles seems to be their guy, which honestly, he's probably the best fit, him and Matthews. Mm-hmm. I think DeMarco Murray's the best running back, but he's just not a horizontal runner. And so I think that that puts them in a bit of a bind against a defense like Arizona. And I think Arizona might be the most complete team in the NFL right now. You know, they've handled their injuries no problem. They've been really, really good. And I probably would pick the Cardinals over just about everybody in the NFL right now. So I think Philly will give them a game. I definitely do. I just don't think Sam Bradford and that offense, the way it's constructed and the way it's playing, can score 30 points. And I think they're going to have to beat the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are going to put a ton of pressure on Philly's very shaky cornerbacks. I think that they're going to dare the back end of that defense to try. And I don't think that they'll be up to the challenge. So I do have the Cardinals. I gave this one pause, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles win. But I do think it'll be the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I'm gaining more confidence in Philly, you know, in terms of as the year goes on. They're 19th right now in weighted DVOA, so that sounds about right.
Yeah.
But I like Arizona a lot more.
Yeah, and did they start two games with Leinart?
What's that?
Or not Leinart. Sanchez. Oop. Did they start two games with Sanchez?
I don't even remember.
I think it was the two games where they just got waxed by the Bucks and Lions. So, you know, those two games have definitely going to drag down their DVOA and their kind of overall view of the team. But mm-hmm. outside of that, I think they're 6-5. And I'm looking through right now. Yeah. And the biggest loss outside of that was 11 points at Carolina. So when Bradford's been in there, they're definitely competitive. And I think that they will make it a game. But I've got the Cardinals.
Yeah. I mean, that's like pretty much how I feel too. I think they could give them a run for their money. And, you know, with the special teams stuff they do, there's always a chance they could kind of
– Totally.
You know, change the game, the complexion of the game in that manner. That's how they beat New England. Last week we were talking about this, I think, on here, and I'd said that they'd gotten three touchdowns on special teams. That wasn't true. They got two on special teams and then a pick six that was like 100 yards.
Yep.
But, I mean, you're scoring 21 points on defense and special teams, so it's like that's huge. And if they can do something like that against Arizona, I think anything can happen, obviously. But straight up, like, just offense, defense, I don't think it's going to – I don't think that they're – it's a good match. I think Arizona will win. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, it doesn't really matter for the Seahawks anyway. So I don't really care who wins this game, frankly. It'll be interesting to see who wins the NFC East, of course, for the Seahawks. But I don't see Philly winning this game. I picked Arizona. Moving down the line, for some reason, a lot of people are picking the Giants in this game. What do you think of the Giants, the Carolina at Giants?
I had the Giants clicked all week. And then I asked myself why I was picking the Giants. And after an honest conversation with myself, I realized that it was because I just didn't think the Panthers would be an undefeated team and the Giants are the last best chance to beat them. And so I was just like, well, they got to get a loss at some point, and this is the only team left that can do it. And they're coming off a win and yada, yada. And I just really started looking at it. I was like, that's not how I bet. You know, I try and bet with common sense and with my wallet, not with, you know, any perceived ideas of narrative. And I can't find the reason. I won't be shocked. I think Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning have showed themselves to have the ability to knock off the giant, you know, the true giants of the league in the past, especially late in the season. You know, when their Super Bowl runs, I mean, beating teams like the undefeated Patriots, beating teams like the 15-1 Packers in Green Bay in the playoffs, you know, they've got some really impressive late season wins. It's kind of the Tom Coughlin special. So I won't be shocked. I just don't think they have the firepower on both sides of the ball to combat how good Carolina is at everything.
Yeah. And that's exactly what, you know, what I would have said. And that's exactly what that's the reason I picked Carolina. I know that you think the Giants are the best team in the NFC East, and that's probably true actually, but I still don't think they're very good. And I mean, you said exactly that too. I think Carolina is a really good team. I don't think the Giants are very good. You know, obviously anything can happen, but they have a guy who can probably match up better with Odell Beckham than, you know, pretty much any corner in the NFL right now, other than maybe Sherman in Josh Norman. So that's a big thing for me, matchup wise.
Totally.
You know, I just think
that's good. By the way, that's probably the best on-field matchup in the NFL this week.
That'll be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully they have him shadow. I imagine they will.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be a good one. So I picked Carolina as well. And I was a little surprised to see so many people picking the Giants. I don't know. It's just like it reminds me of the whole Dallas thing. When everyone was picking Dallas against Carolina, I was like, okay, I don't get that, but I understand. You know, sometimes that's the matchup, you know, that people look at, but.
Well, and I think part of it too is just the visibility, right? Like there's that whole recency bias of, I mean, the Giants had a really impressive game on Monday and they looked awesome, you know, and it was, everyone saw that game and no one really saw the Carolina Atlanta game. I don't think it was broadcast outside of those two markets. So I think there might be some of that too. There's kind of a high profile win that the Giants are coming off of, but to go with it, they're also on a short week.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's true. And I mean, the Giants they have the explosive players, but Odell Beckham is like one of the most popular players in the NFL right now. Carolina's most explosive player, I guess, would be Ted Ginn.
Which, I mean, he's going bonkers right now.
Yeah, he has 4 touchdowns in 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. The one thing that is kind of concerning about Carolina in this game is they do not have Jonathan Stewart. So that'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I saw that today. Then again, the Giants don't have a running back.
They have a thing called an Orleans Darkwa or something.
They have one of those, yeah. I heard they've got one of those. I want to – just real quick, since you mentioned Ted Ginn, I saw something today from one of my favorite accounts to follow on Twitter. It's at Fantasy Douche.
Yeah, I love that.
He's a really funny guy. I don't know if you follow him or not.
I do.
But he posted the adjusted yards per attempt for Ted Ginn in his career by quarterback. And I always have thought of Ted Ginn as a bust, like a guy that kind of like Devin Hester or Josh Cribbs, his only values in the return game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to who his pre-Cam Newton quarterbacks were. Troy Smith, John Beck, Alex Smith for only like 50 targets, Chad Henne, Drew Stanton, Cleo Lemon, Chad Pennington.
Cleo Lemon?
Like, it's kind of hard to judge a guy as being like a can't-make-it receiver when it's like literal third stringers throwing him 90% of his targets in his career.
Yeah.
So this is his first time having a true big-armed quarterback, which is his whole deal, right, is he's a downfield guy. So this might just be who Ted Ginn's been all along.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. He definitely has that reputation, I would say.
And, yeah.
He has had issues with drops though, I think, hasn't he?
Yes. Oh yeah. This season too. I mean, I'm not trying to make the case that Ted Ginn's an elite receiver. I know his receiving numbers are really meager and that might be more of a reflection of who's been throwing him the ball.
And Cam can fucking throw.
Oh my gosh.
He put some fucking mustard on that thing.
I mean, it's almost like one of those things where it's like, hey, I bet you can't overthrow me, you know?
Yeah. You know, because a lot of people, you know, the whole the Packers Hail Mary win over the Lions, I wonder how many quarterbacks in the NFL could have made that throw. I think
I would say
Matt Stafford probably.
Flacco.
Cam and Flacco maybe. Yeah, there's not very many. Yeah, Cutler potentially.
Maybe Ross. I don't even think Ross. I mean, yeah, that throw was a majestic thing.
Anyway, we both picked Carolina in that game. Moving on to Seattle hosting Cleveland, the 14.5 line. Yeah, Seahawks. We don't even need to talk about that. Green Bay at Oakland.
This was another tough one for me.
Yeah.
I don't think Oakland has to overplay much or that Green Bay has to underplay much for the Raiders to win, right?
Right.
In Oakland, I think the fans are pretty excited about that team down there, so I do think home field is going to matter more to them at this point in the season than it has in a long time. I don't think the Packers are quite as good as their record. You know, they got off that amazing start, but they've been very average since. They've been on the plus side of average lately, but, you know, no one is saying, like, the Pack is back, you know? It's kind of this tepid optimism. But I do think the fact that McCarthy is taking over play calling again makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
It was weird to me that he gave that up and that he remained giving it up for as long as he did, because that offense has been really average. But Eddie Lacy looks great again. James Starks looks great again. And Randall Cobb's been really good the last 2 weeks. Whereas I think Oakland's offense is kind of getting figured out a little bit. I mean, I think their win against Denver was pretty fluky. They had negative 12 yards in the first half, I think.
Yep.
And, I mean, it took Khalil Mack getting 5 sacks and Denver just not scoring any points for their last 8 drives. It just – and they still barely hung on to it. It was weird. It was just, I don't read into that win a lot. It was impressive. They beat Denver in Denver. But, I don't know. I think the Packers are still, you know, a tier or a tier and a half better than the Raiders. And I think that's enough to win. I will not be surprised if the Packers lose this game. I'm a little surprised that they're getting 87% of the picks right now because I think this game's a lot closer. But with Vegas, who has Green Bay as a slim 3-point favorite on this one, and I think they moved to 10-4 with this one. But I'll be cheering for Oakland for sure. No, I'll be cheering for Green Bay because I'd rather Seattle go to
Minnie. Yeah, I mean, I went with Green Bay too. I think you said it pretty much exactly how I would have said it. I still think they're a better team. I think in Oakland it's going to be tough, but I don't know. I still think Green Bay is a significantly better team. I think Oakland, their passing offense was shitty last week. That's not to say it'll be like that again, but what's his face? Amari Cooper has really kind of fallen off his early season pace, and I don't know. I just don't think
it's hard. College seasons are 12 games long. You know, we're into that point where rookies are now playing more football than they ever have in a year before.
That's a good point. And that might be a factor. So I went with Green Bay too in this game. And I think the McCarthy play calling thing is a huge deal. There's no other reason. Like, I can't explain how they were so bad before. We have Aaron Rodgers, you know?
Yeah, he's like covers a multitude of sins. But, I mean, you look at their scoring. Once they started, you know, they won their first, I think, 7 games. And then they scored 10, 29, 16, 30, 13, 27. Like, those are average to below average numbers in terms of scoring, and then, you know, looked pretty good last week. And that 28, I think, that they scored against the Cowboys is a little misleading because that was a lean on the clock, lean on the run, shorten the game, 28 points. So I think that, you know, what you said about McCarthy calling plays, you said it exactly right. It's a huge deal. I wouldn't be surprised to see them tickle 30 every game the rest of the way.
Did you say tickle 30?
Yeah, I think they will.
I like that expression. Okay, well, we are still pretty much just exactly the same on everything except for 30.
Yeah, I'm really surprised and disappointed in us right now.
I know. I need to make up 2 games on you. Last week, really, I shit the bed on that one. San Diego and Miami in San Diego.
This was my hardest pick.
This one's, like, again, like 2 bad teams. I'll tell you who I picked first, I suppose. I picked Miami.
Damn it, Danny.
I suppose you did too. I think, again,
yeah,
I think Miami is a better team. I do. And I think, I don't know. I don't think they're a good team by any means, but I think with the way that they're playing right now, San Diego just seems like they're really, really, I don't know what they, although they did give Kansas City kind of a run for their money.
Oh, I mean, they gave them a first and goal with the game on the line run for their money.
Right. But still, to me, I just, I don't know. I don't see it with this team. San Diego, they're too injured. They just lost too many games they probably should have won. I just don't know. And I think maybe the recency bias is coming in, just having watched Miami lately. I can't even remember the game. Were they playing the Giants on Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
I think they actually didn't look as bad as I thought.
I thought they looked really good. I mean, they're saying that Lamar Miller was hurt in the second half, which I guess there's some like
weird
doubt about that, because he started off with like, I think it was 7 carries, 61 yards, and 2 touchdowns in like the first 20 minutes.
He looked like he
was just going to have one of those games. And then he got 5 carries after that, and they ended up throwing it 41 times with Tannehill or whatever it ended up being. So for whatever reason, I think their game plan got off track, but that game plan was working.
They had some big drops, and I can't.
They did.
Jordan,
I think
Cameron,
Parker had one.
Yeah, Devontae Parker had one. I don't know. I came out of that game feeling better about Miami. So
me too.
Maybe that's part of the reason why I picked them in this one. I also think San Diego's home field advantage is non-existent.
Yes.
You know, San Diego, again, if I would have watched that Kansas City game closely, I might have felt differently about making this pick. But I think San Diego is like in a tailspin, and I don't know what would get them out at this point. I just don't know what's happening.
Here's the thing. I did watch a lot of that game, and it's – I mean, what was it, 10-7? It wasn't good football, you know. It was just really bad football. Kansas City lost both of its running backs to injury at one point, which is crazy considering the injuries they've had at running back. It was bad football. I mean, if San Diego had won, it would have been a bad game that they won. It wasn't impressive.
Mm. Yeah, and so anyhow, I kind of just went with you know.
I was hoping you're going to hop back up on El Bolo for this one.
I can't do it, man.
Yeah.
They've already let me down too many times. So I take it you took Miami as well.
I did.
All right. Well, moving down the line, this is kind of the game of the week, I think. Pittsburgh and Denver in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Denver obviously lost last week. You said it was kind of fluky. I wouldn't disagree. I think I don't know, first of all, Derek Carr had like 100 and something yards, like 135 yards or something like that, like 40% completion rate or something like that. Yeah. So I still think Denver's defense is really good. I just worry that their offense probably can't keep up with Pittsburgh in a game like this. And so that's kind of why I went with Pittsburgh. Who did you pick in this game?
I was really surprised at how easily I picked Pittsburgh.
I kind of figured you would, because I know that you like Pittsburgh a lot.
I love Pittsburgh. I definitely have like an organizational boner for the Steelers.
I don't blame
you. I just like how they go about their business. I like all of the key players in that franchise. I just respect it. So I picked them to go to the AFC Championship game as well this year. I honestly still think that they will. I think it really might be one of the two AFC wildcard teams that comes out of that conference this year. And I wouldn't bet against the Steelers. I do think they're really good. My one hesitation with them going into the season was that I thought their defense would be really bad like they've been. But they're not. They're the number 12 defense by DVOA, and their offense is kicking serious ass.
Mm-hmm.
I think Denver will give them trouble for sure. And Ben Roethlisberger actually wasn't very sharp last week, but there's just too many playmakers right there. Pittsburgh's going to get their points. Pittsburgh always scores, win or lose. Pittsburgh scores against everybody. And Denver, you're still talking about a really bad offense. I mean, a bad offense.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler hasn't been much better than Peyton Manning, to be honest.
No, he hasn't. I mean, there's definitely some – there was some hope because he won a game or two and is lovable and charismatic and, you know, wants to like Brock Osweiler. But he's just – he's just hasn't looked very good. And when things got bad for him against the Raiders, they got bad really, really fast. You know, it wasn't – There was nothing there. Even when they were down three going into that final drive, or I think their final two drives, they were down three. And I was like, you're down three to the Raiders at home. And I had no faith that they were going to win that game.
So when they did make plays, when he did make throws, the guys dropped it too.
Yeah, he did. He had a bunch of drops. Demaryius Thomas has like crazy drop rate this year.
It's weird.
Which is super weird. But, I mean, I think that – They've got a really special player in Emmanuel Sanders, but I think that he's a timing wide receiver, a lot the way that his old teammate Antonio Brown is. And, you know, when you have receivers that are so good at running routes like Brown and Emmanuel Sanders are, reminds me of Marvin Harrison, something he used to do. He would stay in his route for a step longer than everyone else before turning his head because he had so much faith in the timing of the play, in his hands, and in the quarterback to put it exactly where they wanted, that they'll turn for the ball so, so late that it's amazing. It's impossible to defend. Right. It's like that great elite talent to be able to turn your head around super late after the quarterback's thrown the ball even on a short route. And that's what Emmanuel Sanders is excellent at. And Peyton Manning, even when he is losing his arm strength, that timing, his timing has always been immaculate. And so – has completely disappeared, I think. Like, I don't think he's a weapon right now simply because that timing is going to take time. And it's how the most uber efficient wide receiver in the NFL, Antonio Brown, just disappeared without Ben Roethlisberger. You know, you need to have that for those type of receivers. So I think they lose what might have been their best weapon this year. Not having a stretch tight end in Julius Thomas has really, I think, hampered their run offense because they used to see a ton of six-man fronts, like a standard deviation more than anyone else in the league, which opened a lot of things up for the running game. They don't anymore. So it's kind of Demaryius or nothing. They can't run it. So, again, this is one of those games. You hear me say it a couple times every week, but there's some teams that, regardless of matchup, you're just going to have to score a bunch of points to beat. And Pittsburgh's one of those teams. And I just don't have any faith in Denver to score a bunch of points against the number 12 defense in the NFL.
Hear, hear. I hear that, and I think that was well explained. Moving down the line, we got two more games. Cincinnati at San Francisco first up. Obviously, A.J. McCarron will be starting for Cincinnati. They're still obviously a really good team otherwise. I think the whole Andy Dalton thing is really kind of shocking and crazy because Cincinnati, to me, was one of the – I thought they, you know, they had the inside track to the number one seed. I thought they were going to get it. They lost him last week. They lost to the Steelers. I don't think they're going to lose to the 49ers here, but it just definitely changes the complexion of their season. Nonetheless, for this week, what do you think of this game? Obviously, I think, you know, I can guess what you're going to put, but I want to hear what you say.
Yeah, I picked the Bengals, and actually there's – something that I think is going to be really interesting to watch with them. But real quick, I did want to just go back and say during my long rant about why the Steelers will win, I totally undersold the fact that I think the Broncos have like a legitimately great defense that can steal a win from a good team. I mean, right, the Broncos defense can win a game. So anyway, just wanted to get that part of it in there. I think one thing that's going to be super interesting with the Bengals to watch is – can Hugh Jackson still do all of his shit with A.J. McCarron?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the Bengals do, it is so important in terms of getting the right personnel in early in the play clock. You know, this is something that the – I'm actually on the Cigar Thoughts podcast, which I'll post soon. Matt Nichols goes into depth on this a lot, just about how important it is to get the right personnel in early in the play clock. Because with Cincinnati, they get up to the line and they do some crazy Tetris shifting before the snap.
Yeah,
they just move dudes everywhere into all sorts of formations and shapes. And it just makes matchup defense so difficult. And I think that it allows what's already a talented offense to be a great offense is because they'll just get to the line quick enough with everyone knowing what they have to do that they can just move around until they find the mismatch that they want. It's crazy. And they're the number one offense in the NFL by DVOA. I mean, this is the most efficient offense in the NFL right now. And I think that that has so much to do not only with Hugh Jackson, their offensive coordinator, but the relationship he has with Dalton. Can A.J. McCarron come in and make all those lines and get the calls in as early as Dalton does so that they can get up there and do all of their stuff? Or do they just have to revert back to a more remedial version while he's in there? I think that's going to be really interesting to watch. I think they're very fortunate that the, you know, first game, first start for McCarron is against the 49ers. I think it'll be a little bit softer of a landing spot, and I think the surrounding talent will carry them to a win in this one. But with Cincinnati moving forward, you've heard me say it on this podcast before, I think the Bengals have a Super Bowl quality roster, and the only thing that's been keeping them back is their quarterback. Well, their quarterback's been great this year, and it's now that's gone. And who knows with Eifert? You know, Eifert, that's a couple of really bad head hits he's had in the last 3 weeks. And you get too many of those, and you're just not allowed to play through it anymore. And I think he may be interesting to watch. So, I think Cincinnati wins an ugly one in this one.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. And that's kind of something that we've heard all year in terms of the big jump that Dalton has made this year is that he's making a lot of checks and stuff at the line. He's really trusting what he's seeing. He's we saw it against the Seahawks. Like, he made that check into the quarterback sneak where they ran like 5 yards just right up the middle.
Oh, yeah, that was a great unheralded play.
Yeah, and he's done that actually a couple times this year. That's like the big, big part of the game that people don't really know about as much because it's just not something that you can see necessarily. It's more like you hear about it later. So that's something they've talked about a lot. And so that's a great, great point. I think, they don't have that. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have that with A.J. McCarron. And so that changes the complexion of their offense a lot. It's much more basic, I'm guessing, now. So that's an interesting point. Going back to the Carolina-New York game, I saw a tweet here that I thought we needed to say. This is from Kimberly Jones. Carolina cornerback Josh Norman has allowed 89 combined yards to DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, Dez Bryant, and Julio Jones this season.
Shut the fuck up.
89 combined yards.
Holy cow.
That's insane. So,
holy cow.
That just makes me feel a little bit better about picking Carolina. And that, I think, again, like we said earlier, that's a huge matchup for this week. That's one of the key ones to watch, and so that'll be fun.
That's defensive player of the year type stuff right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's like doing the Revis thing. He's like taking one side of the field away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Final game on the docket. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, you're good.
Detroit at New Orleans. Two bad teams on Monday Night Football. What do you think of this game?
Yeah. There's a lot more fantasy relevance in this one than actual relevance. This is two teams that when they're clicking can put up, a barge full of points. And, I mean, this is one of those ones where I wouldn't be surprised if 80 points are scored. They have the highest over-under in the league this week at 51, and I would still bet the over on that. I think that they're going to score a ton. I mean, with the Saints, you're talking about probably the worst defense that's ever lived. And then with Detroit, you've got them, as like kind of a middling defense. So, and the Saints can still score, the Saints still put up a lot of points. They're just still ninth in DVOA by offense. And, and they're still a volume offense.
That's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. They're ninth in DVOA and they're that bad.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows again. I mean, every week when we talk about the Saints, we kind of chuckle about just how bad their defense is. But, like, they're going to make a run at – okay, so get this. Since they started keeping track of DVOA, it was 1989, so you're talking about 26 full seasons of data, okay? Mm-hmm. 26 by times 32, whatever that number is, right, about 800 seasons of data. Right now, the 2015 Saints have the worst defensive DVOA ever. I mean, we might literally be talking about the worst defensive unit in modern NFL history.
Right.
Right now, they're at 24, and the higher your number, the worse in DVOA on defense, which puts them slightly slightly ahead or behind, however you want to say it, the Cardinals of 2001. So just, you know, if you're wondering how you can be so bad with a top 10 offense, that is how you can be so bad with the top 10 offense.
Yeah, you really literally have to, like win a horse race every game. Like, you have to outscore whoever you're playing because they're going to give up a shitload of points every week.
Oh, man, it's just crazy. It's just – like every week, if you have any start sit decisions in fantasy and one of them is playing the Saints, just take that guy, even if they're like third string. Like everyone's gonna eat against that defense.
Everyone gets cars.
Yeah, right. And actually, you know, I was tempted to pick New Orleans because they're at home and it's two bad teams. Most of the country is. Vegas likes New Orleans. 81% of you picking New Orleans, but I've got the Lions, and this was one of those ones where I was trying to figure out why everyone likes the Saints. They are coming off of a win, and the week before they almost beat the Panthers. I think there was like 99 points scored in that game. So I think the Saints have been involved in the three highest scoring games in the NFL this year, actually, which is just insane. Mm-hmm. So I did take the Lions to win because I think, especially with Jim Bob Cooter running the show, I think they're an okay offense. Their defense has actually been okay all year. It's just their offense was really bad for a long time. They're the 15th best team in the NFL by DVOA overall. They're 15th and weighted. The Saints are 28th and 24th respectively. And so I'm just going with the better team on this one. I think there's more talent. I think a better sense of being able to win on both sides of the ball. So the gap between the Saints offense and the Lions offense is a lot smaller than the gap between the Saints defense and the Lions defense, if that makes sense.
It doesn't at all, but I am going to go with your pick. I'm just kidding. It makes sense.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I picked Detroit too. Man, we freaking
– Damn it.
We picked all the same teams. Except for
I guess that'll keep me in front for at least 1 week here.
Yep.
We disagreed on the first game, and I was like, yes, here we go. Mayhem, let's do this. And we agreed on the next 15.
I did have someone ask me this, and just to confirm, we don't talk about our picks before we get on this show. You know, I make my picks on Monday or on Tuesday, early morning Tuesday.
That's rough. And that's something that you listeners should appreciate. Danny's making his picks a day earlier than even I am, and I always complain about having to make them on Wednesday.
Yeah, so a lot of time we have to kind of guess on some injury situations and just kind of go with what you think. But, no, it is funny that we picked all the same games except for the Thursday night game. I was expecting kind of like a big a lot of differences in opinion this week, but nope.
So I guess this week with so many toss-up games, this is going to be a real true test of how much you actually trust what we say. We're going to know by your guys' picks how much you guys actually trust us.
We should probably like hedge and just pick a lot of different things so at least one of us actually does well this year.
Yeah. Well, we're both doing really well. I think I'm in the top 10%. You're in the top 12 or 13%. So we're acquitting ourselves well, but
yeah, I'll take that.
Not as well as, you know, maybe we would have liked, but there's a lot of time left.
Yep. All right. So what are your against the spread picks?
Yeah. With a lot of toss up games, I think that actually makes picking the spread a little bit easier a lot of times. So the ones that I went with, I've got Houston at Indianapolis right now. It's a pick 'em. I've actually I've got Seattle covering their 14.5 against Cleveland. I think them beating
you done pissed them off.
Yeah, Russell. Right. This here's a crazy thing about this spread. Seattle's favored by 14.5, and you see that occasionally. You know, you might see 25 to 30 games a year that are two touchdown spreads. It's fine. It's not a crazy thing to see. But usually when you see a two touchdown spread, you're talking 47 to 52 point over unders, right? They're higher variance, higher scoring game. And typically that's when you see a bigger point spread.
Right.
43 is the over under on this game. That's basically saying Cleveland is not going to score points. I mean, that's a predicted score of 29 to 14. And when you hear 29 to 14, doesn't that almost seem generous to Cleveland?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, as crazy as it is, I have Seattle at home covering their two touchdown spread. My third pick, this is kind of a tough one. But I do think Arizona covers 3.5 at Philadelphia. I think that Arizona has shown that they can throw knockout punches all game long. I don't think Philadelphia can, and I think that's what it's going to take. I think the Arizona-Seattle Sunday night game was like the perfect depiction of who the Cardinals are as a team. And I just don't see Philadelphia being good enough to beat that, even though they're giving Arizona 3.5. So those are mine on the week.
I like it. All right, well, that's the show for today. Do you have anything else to add before we kind of sign off here?
No, not at all. I guess just go Rams.
Yeah, Thursday night game. That'll be fun.
We'll know right off which one of us had the better week. go Bucks, I mean. Not go Rams. You're saying go Rams.
I'm saying go Rams.
Jeez. Shows you how much conviction I have in that pick.
All righty. Well, as usual, make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, the Deep Balls NFL Picks Podcast. Follow Jackson Bevins at JACSON Bevins on Twitter. You can always read Cigar Thoughts on Sunday night or Monday morning, depending on when they play. Or I should say, or Monday night. Although they don't have any more Monday night games, so never mind. Just read on Sunday. And then Jackson, I think you're going to post Cigar Thoughts pretty soon here, the podcast.
Yep.
So yeah, check all that stuff out. We got a lot of hashtag content coming up for you. That's it. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Later, guys.